Thanks for the introduction. Again, my name is Alex Lindsay. I'm a PhD candidate in my last year at Ohio State University. And today I'll be speaking on the physiological response of a drought-tolerant hybrid to plant population and irrigation. Multiple climatic models predict that over the next few decades, there will be more variability in precipitation in addition to increases in global temperatures and CO2 levels. Recently, many seed corn companies have released a new generation of drought-tolerant hybrids, primarily developed for use in the Western Corn Belt. But growers in the Eastern Corn Belt, like states like Ohio, have expressed interest in using these hybrids as a sort of risk management tool to help deal with the variability in precipitation. The mechanism behind the drought tolerance in these hybrids, though, is not well documented. Agronomic management has also been changing over the last few decades. The chart on the right side of the slide shows that seeding rates in Ohio over the last 40 years have been increasing to current planting rates ranging anywhere from 74,000 plants per hectare to 89,000 plants per hectare. This increase in plant population could affect competition between the plants and may affect plant physiology, for instance, production of leaf area index and also photosynthesis and water use. Drought-tolerant hybrids may also respond differently to these increases in plant populations as compared to some susceptible counterparts. So the objectives of this study were to investigate plant population and irrigation on the physiology of one drought-tolerant and one susceptible hybrid, measure irrigation and population effects on light interception and leaf area index, and determine plant population and irrigation effects on corn grain yield of a drought-tolerant and a susceptible hybrid. A field study was conducted in 2013 and 2014 at the Western Agricultural Research Station in South Charleston, Ohio. The experiment was conducted as a split-plot randomized complete block, with the whole plot factor being irrigation or water exclusion treatment. To achieve water exclusion, instead of using rain shelters, as previous researchers had, we tried a different approach using plastic placed on the soil surface between the rows at the vegetative stage V6, just prior to canopy closure. In our rain-fed plus irrigation treatments, we also applied a similar black plastic, but we cut holes every 15 centimeters to allow for rainfall infiltration, and we laid a drip line below the plastic to allow for supplemental irrigation to minimize water stress. We had two subplot factors within the experiment as well. We selected two Pioneer brand hybrids, one of which received the Aquamax designation and had a drought tolerance rating of 9, and a similar maturity counterpart that was considered non-Aquamax. It had a drought tolerance rating of 7 from the company, which was the lowest drought rating that was commercially available for hybrids in Ohio. Our second subplot factor was plant population. As I mentioned, we used a common plant density used in Ohio at 74,000 plants per hectare, and we also pushed populations up to 124,000 plants per hectare. Throughout the growing season, we collected different physiological measurements, particularly at two grain fill periods, the R2 and the R5 growth stage. We measured net photosynthesis, transpiration rate, stomatal conductance, and two fluorescence ratio parameters, including photon capture efficiency and light-adapted quantum yield. At the R2 growth stage, we measured leaf area index destructively, and throughout the season, we collected volumetric soil water content measurements. At the end of the season, we collected corn grain yield. The data were analyzed using PROC mixed and SAS, and we separated means using pairwise comparisons when the global F-test was significant. In the charts that I present today, if it has one asterisk, it was significant at the 0.1 level, two asterisks at the 0.05 level, and three asterisks at the 0.01 level. I will now proceed to the water exclusion results, or the irrigation results, from our study. This first chart is showing the available volumetric water content in the soils at the R2 growth stage. On the x-axis, we have plant available volumetric water content ranging from 100% or field capacity to 0% or the permanent wilting point. On the y-axis, we have soil depth, with 0 being the soil surface, and all the way down every 10 centimeters to 60 centimeters soil depth. The blue lines represent our rain plus irrigation treatments, the soil water in those treatments for our susceptible and tolerant hybrid, and the red lines are for the water excluded treatments for our susceptible and tolerant hybrids. We saw similar differences, regardless of hybrid, to the water exclusion treatment, in that at 5 out of the 6 soil depths, water exclusion treatment significantly decreased volumetric plant available water content as compared to the rain-fed irrigated counterpart. When we measured volumetric water content at the R5 growth stage, we saw similar differences, but the soil moisture in the excluded plots was decreased to a further extent as compared to the irrigated control. This chart is showing the physiological responses to water exclusion at the R2 growth stage. The different rows of the columns represent the different physiological parameters, including net photosynthesis, transpiration rates, stomatal conductance, photon capture efficiency, and light-adapted quantum yield. Our columns are for our susceptible hybrid and our tolerant hybrid, and within each, it's the physiological response to the rain plus irrigation treatment or the water exclusion treatment. At the R2 growth stage, we saw a significant effect of hybrid across watering treatments in that our susceptible hybrid had higher transpiration rates and a greater stomatal conductance value as compared to the tolerant hybrid at that growth stage. The other point of interest here is that net photosynthesis was not significantly different for the other for each hybrid. We saw a very similar response at the R5 growth stage. Again, our susceptible hybrid had higher transpiration rates and higher stomatal conductance values as compared to the tolerant hybrid. We did see a significant effect of water exclusion treatment at the R5 growth stage as well. When water was excluded from both hybrids, we saw a significant decrease in net photosynthetic rates for both our susceptible and our tolerant hybrid. Water exclusion treatment did not affect leaf area index or light interception for either of our hybrids evaluated in this study across both years. Moving on to the population results, this graph is again showing available volumetric water content at the R2 growth stage, but the two blue lines represent the plants grown at 74,000 plants per hectare for our susceptible and tolerant hybrids, and the orange lines are the 124,000 plants per hectare susceptible and tolerant lines. The only time we saw a significant effect of plant population on volumetric water content of the soil was at the 50 centimeter soil depth at the R2 growth stage, where plants grown at 124,000 plants per hectare had significantly less volumetric water content as compared to those grown at 74,000 plants per hectare. At the R5 growth stage, we did not see a difference in volumetric water content at our two different plant densities. There was a significant effect of population on our hybrids. We actually saw a significant interaction between hybrid and population for the two fluorescence ratio parameters that we evaluated. When plant population increased from 74,000 to 124,000, we saw no change in the fluorescence ratio for our susceptible hybrid. However, for our tolerant hybrid, when plant density increased from 74,000 to 124,000, the fluorescence ratios decreased, indicating that the plants that were from the tolerant hybrid may have been experiencing more plant stress as compared to their susceptible counterparts at the 124,000 plants per hectare density. We saw a similar effect at the R5 growth stage with our light-adapted quantum yield. However, for both hybrids, when plant density increased from 74 to 124,000 plants per hectare, the fluorescence ratio decreased for both of those hybrids. The leaf area index and light interception were affected by plant population as well. For both hybrids, when plant density increased from 74,000 to 124,000 plants per hectare, leaf area index and light interception increased for both hybrids. We saw a significant hybrid by population interaction for leaf area index, but this was driven by the fact that the tolerant hybrid consistently produced a greater leaf area index as compared to our susceptible hybrid, as seen on the left chart of this graph. I'll now proceed to the grain yield results. We saw that there was a significant effect of irrigation on corn grain yield in our study. Grain yield is on the y-axis. On the x-axis, we have our susceptible hybrid and our tolerant hybrid. We saw that regardless of hybrid, when water was excluded from the plots, yields were reduced for both hybrids by approximately 14%. A similar result was observed with population effects. We again saw a significant effect of population in that when plants were grown at 124,000 plants per hectare, yields were reduced by approximately 8%. Across all watering and population treatments, we saw a significant effect of hybrid as well. In this study, the susceptible hybrid out-yielded the tolerant hybrid across all treatments by approximately 9%. So in summary, the tolerant hybrid physiology differed from the susceptible hybrid in our experiments. We observed a 25 to 30% lower transpiration rate and stomatal conductance, but we saw a maintenance of photosynthetic rate. We also observed greater leaf area index in our tolerant hybrid, but saw a reduced grain yield by approximately 9%. Additionally, the lower fluorescence ratio was only observed in the tolerant hybrid at the R2 growth stage when population increased. Our water exclusion treatment successfully decreased plant available moisture content, and we saw a decrease in net photosynthesis at R5 across hybrids. Additionally, it reduced yields by 14% for both hybrids. The response to plant population was more variable. Soil moisture for the large part was unaffected, and the fluorescence ratios decreased for our hybrids at the R2 and the R5 stage. Increasing plant population increased leaf area index and light interception, as previous researchers have observed. We observed a grain yield reduction by 8% when plants were grown at the 124,000 plants per hectare density. So in conclusion, the water exclusion had a similar effect on our hybrids with a 14% yield reduction observed. I wanted to point out, however, even when water was excluded from these plots, the yields from those plots were still 5% above the state average for Ohio for that growing season. So in 2013 and 2014, we had extremely good growing seasons for corn production in Ohio. The tolerant hybrid maintained photosynthesis with lower transpiration rates. It was able to reduce transpiration by 25 to 30%, but still maintain photosynthesis. And greater leaf area index did not translate into yield in this experiment. We observed a 9% lower yield from our tolerant hybrids. The lower fluorescence ratios at 124,000 plants per hectare may indicate those plants are under more stress than those grown under 74,000 plants per hectare. And we had hypothesized that the drought-tolerant hybrid may be able to tolerate higher plant densities, but the results from this study may indicate this may not be the case. So with that, I'd like to thank our funding sources, and I'd be happy to take any questions you may have.
All right, we have time for about 3 or 4 questions.
Yes.
Very nice presentation. I'm just kind of curious why you chose to start photosynthesis measurements at R2 and why you then next jumped to R5. And I was also kind of curious as to your water exclusion treatment was inserted already at the V6 stage. So this is kind of my second question. Did drought symptoms ever become evident? Because normally we think of water exclusion means lower LAI, and you didn't show that. So those are the two separate questions.
Right. So the first question was regarding why we collected photosynthetic measurements at R2 and R5. And the second question was why we installed water exclusion at V6 and if we saw any visible symptoms of drought stress. Okay. To address your first question, we actually collected physiological measurements at V8, V14, R2, and R5. So we did collect some early season vegetative measurements. But I didn't have time, unfortunately, to present that data here. We wanted to get the photosynthetic rates right at the blister stage to see how the plants were responding to the treatments at the start of grain fill. And at the R5 growth stage, we timed the measurement to occur prior to half milk line to see kind of as the plants were winding down after the treatment to see what effect that had. Those were the main reasons why we chose those physiological stages to do our photosynthetic measurements. As far as the water exclusion treatment, we applied it at V6 because we were using black plastic. We wanted to minimize the temperature effect that may be observed from using the plastic in the plots. If we had installed the plastic prior to canopy closure any sooner, we may have severely damaged the plants that were growing between the plastic. And so we wanted to wait until as close to canopy closure as possible to install that. We also wanted to try to instill drought stress during the grain fill periods rather than during the early vegetative periods. And so that was the other reason we waited until the V8 stage or V6 stage to install the plastic. 2013, we had very adequate rainfall throughout the entire season and very few days that achieved over 90 degree heat. And so and over 100 degree heat. And so the plants had a very good growing environment. So we didn't really observe too much leaf rolling in 2013. And in 2014, it was an extremely cool year for us, and we had very frequent rainfall events early in the season. And so in 2014, we didn't observe much visible differences during that period.
You had exceptionally high LAIs for water excluding drinking.
Right. So that's...
And so your plots were how long?
These plots were... the subplot was 25 feet long.
Very
so
long.
Right. And the whole plot was four plots long, so it was around 100 feet or... Yes?
Just a quick question. What lead did you use for measuring photosynthesis in both cases?
Right. This is a great question. What leaf did I choose to measure photosynthesis on for the experiment? And we chose to measure the ear leaf for all of our measurements. For the early physiological measurement at the V8 stage, we measured the uppermost fully collared leaf. And then for the V14 measurement, ear shoots were prevalent, so we tried to measure the one that was, V14, we also measured the uppermost fully collared leaf. At the R2 and R5 stage, we measured the uppermost ear leaf state for our measurements. Right, the question was, why are the values so low? And I think it has something to do with the light intensity we chose to take the measurements at. Because we were not doing destructive harvesting around the plants, and these were considered, I wanted to do kind of in vivo measurements in the plots, I selected a light intensity of 100 micromoles per second instead of a saturating light intensity as has been previously reported in publications.